All right, well, more than a few of you guys have reached out to me and said, you know, where's the Unleashed, like the Unleashed version of this podcast? Where is the above and beyond Celtics NBA sports talk? Ev, where is that guy? Why do we start this podcast if it's just going to be all Celtics? And if, you know, most of you guys said it, you know, respectively, like, hey, we love the Celtics, but, you know, what's the Unleashed part? Which is fair, because thus far, a few months into the podcast, super, super successful so far. But we really haven't, you know, tested the limits. We haven't expanded beyond what, you know, we usually talk about, and that's Celtics doing the live streams after games and whatnot. So this is going to be, I guess, the first non-sports related episode we do. And yeah, I mean, I really would appreciate if you reached out to me and let me know if you like this or if you didn't. If you don't like this sort of, I don't know, more of a story or just a personal type of show, then we won't do these anymore, because I don't want to do them if you guys don't like them. Because, hey, you know, the numbers have been great so far. I really appreciate you guys all tuning into both the live shows and the replays and the iTunes and Spotify and whatnot, where you can find your podcast, the bonus episodes, everything like that. You guys have been tremendous so far. Everyone that's listened loyally and watched in the streams and joined the conversation, all great. But, you know, it only takes a few for me to notice something. And, you know, after a few messages of, like, hey, love the Celtics stuff, but where is the what does the Unleashed mean, right? Like, I thought we were getting something different. And so I guess that's what we're going to try and do here with this episode. You know, that's the great thing about this podcast. It's just my name and then Unleashed. So, like, one episode can be about the Celtics. The next one can be about, you know, something personal. And if you don't like that, then, I mean, I guess you just don't like that episode. But it's not really like we're subtracting anything. Really, this is just, again, it's a bonus episode, but we're just adding something in there. We're adding a story that you can listen to. And if you don't like it, then you don't listen to this episode. If it doesn't say anything about Celtics in the title, then you won't click it. Like, I get that. I get that most of you guys are Celtics fans, but we are ready to start, you know, testing the Unleashed factor of this podcast. Again, just now that I feel like so supported by most of you guys, that I feel like we can kind of introduce one of these, which is part of the podcast. Like, I want to get this podcast to a place where we can kind of jump on here and almost shoot the shit in a sense too, you know? Like, it's not just let's talk about Celtics, because think about it. If this was the second year of doing this podcast, I wouldn't have to be scavenging for information and for content about Celtics during this offseason in July and August, June, July, and August. Like, it would have been a lot easier. So here we go. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with, I guess, just a story about, you know, when I had my first legitimate job, and it didn't end too well whatsoever, but my first legitimate job as a, I believe I was 15, I want to say. Obviously, you know, you work, you do camps and stuff like that. Maybe, I don't know if everyone works, but I was, you know, working 14, then 15, I got my real job, and you could legally work. I believe that was the age. And I was working at a frozen yogurt place in my hometown. So, really, really cool. Frozen yogurt and ice cream, and sherbets or whatever the hell. Pretty much a frozen yogurt place, though. And, yeah, it was just like every other thing, you know. Dad got me that job. He did something with the owner of the place, whatever it was. I was too young to even comprehend it there. I was just like, oh, crap, I got a job. Now during, you know, after school and then during the summers, before sports started or whatever, great, I got to go do some work. And nonetheless, it's at a freaking frozen yogurt place, which, to be honest, I didn't even know frozen yogurt existed at this time. But we had the job. We had it for, you know, give just some details here, probably had that job for 2 months. Wasn't the longest job, clearly. And by the title of this podcast, you know that it's still not going on, you know. More than a decade later, it's not. Don't have that job. But let's get into it. So what it was a frozen yogurt place, and I was the only guy there. I played, you know, football at the time, too, so they have this, you know, I guess, strong guy working there, young, strapping young lad, some might say. And it was all girls that worked there, except for the, you know, the district or store manager, whatever the hell he was, this ex-military guy. So he was a hard ass working at a frozen yogurt place, which probably should have been a red flag right from the get. Like, what the heck is this weirdo doing here? But it didn't, you know, like I said, naive Ev was not privy to that. He did not think like, what the hell? Why is, you know, this guy seems nice right now. No, was not. But, so pretty much, well, you know, all the girls that I worked with and stuff, nothing against them, but they got to use the cash register or work the floor and whatnot. Meanwhile, I'm lugging at 15 years old, lugging 3 different 75-pound boxes with a dolly upstairs from the basement because I was the only muscle there, I guess. And again, 15 years old, wasn't all that much muscle, but compared to the other people, yeah, there was muscle. So pretty much, I was the brunt, you know. I was lugging stuff up for the first month or so, and oh boy, did I start to get annoyed. It was like, you don't want to work at a frozen yogurt place, and keep in mind, if I can paint this picture, the cash register was on one side of the place. You had to walk through the, you know, where the tables are and where the actual yogurt itself is, where people pour it themselves, to the door to the basement. So I was getting sweaty. All day long, just walking back and forth with customers. People are looking at me like, why are you sweating? I look like I just ran a marathon. Like, I was getting annoyed, all right? But it wasn't bad. Like, that wasn't the problem. The problem was not that I was lugging stuff up and down. I didn't know any better. When I finally realized that, what the heck's going on here? And this isn't even the tip of the iceberg, I guess, but I noticed one, like, you know, on Friday or whatever, the girls and the manager, everyone's splitting tips, and they're figuring out the tips. And, you know, now looking back, and I know that what pooling tips means at a place, but so the manager, the 4 other girls working there that I all went to school with, so they knew me, I knew them. It wasn't like a weird like thing. Like, I could very much walk up to one of them and be like, what are you guys doing with the money? Which is what I did. I said, what are you doing with the money? And they were splitting tips. Like, she looked at me like I had 8 heads. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're splitting the tips. I was like, what about me? And she's like, oh, I thought you also split tips. Like, it's supposed to be everyone on duty splits. We pull the tips and then we split them up evenly. And I was like, what? So I went in and talked to the army manager there. And I was like, hey, like, we'll call him Curtis. I was like, Curtis. That may or may not be his real name. Call him Curtis. Curtis, why am I not getting the tips? Like, I didn't even know there was tips. You're paying me like $1 an hour and there's tips going around. And he's like, oh, yeah. So that's, yeah. And he starts, you know, backpedaling his words and stuff. I was like, I was so confused. And it pretty much, stupid me, it ended with him winning and pretty much telling me, like, oh, yeah, you got to work the floor to get the tips. Sorry, man. Like, you know, we'll teach you the cash register. We'll teach you everything. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, when can I start the cash register? And he's like, oh, we'll get you going next week. Next week happened. It didn't happen. I didn't get to learn the cash register. I kept asking. And they're like, ah, no, I don't think so. So I was getting frustrated, but finally, I will admit, finally, they at least let me upstairs, and I still, now on top of what I was doing, I was going up and down with 100, 225 pounds, whatever it is, of boxes at age 15. Now, they got me in the back making the frozen yogurt, because the way it was, people, you know, they go with their cup and they do the lever themselves, and in the back on the other side of the wall, here we are making it. So I was like, okay, cool, and guess what? That was going to get me in the tips. I was okay with that. You know, it started with I wanted to learn the cash register, but this jerk Curtis wasn't going to let me. Never did. Like, I literally never touched the cash register here in 2 to 3 months working there, which, whatever, to each their own, doesn't matter. Definitely doesn't matter looking back on it now. But, so, it was a little weird. But I did end up getting, you know, using air quotes right now, the promotion of being able to make the yogurt. And just knowing me and having friends in the town and stuff like that, I started to double up the ingredients, or not double up the ingredients, but double up the flavor. So you'd have a bag of, say, you know, raspberry, and you'd mix it with water, or you'd have a bag of vanilla and mix it with milk, depending on the type of frozen yogurt you're making. I was doing 2 bags per, they look like kegs back there, just 2 bags per bucket in the background. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't the best thing. They started noticing that I was doing that, which all of a sudden I didn't realize that in this really, really, you know, really small square footed kitchen in the back, operation room, whatever you call it, there's just like 10 cameras. So they saw that I was putting multiple things in. I finally got talked to, and I was like, oh, yeah, you saw that, huh? Because at first I was like, I'm not doing that. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, here's a picture of you. And I was like, gosh, oh, yeah, whoops. And I was like, oh, it must have been a one-time thing. He's like, nope, let me fast forward, you know, 20 minutes on the thing, and you just did it again. And I was like, all right, my bad. And he's like, you can't do that again, or we're going to have some serious problems. I looked Curtis in the eye, I said, I promise you, I will not put two bags of powder into the bucket ever again. I will never mix two bags again. And he was like, you promise? Shook his hand, and I was like, I promise. But at this point, I was starting to get a little irritated. I was like, okay, so you screw me over with the tips. You're making me lug stuff up and down. I finally get up here, and all of a sudden, you're gonna berate me for putting two bags in. I'm a 15-year-old. Like, relax, pal. Surprised you didn't tell me to get down and do 20. Again, army drill sergeant working at a frozen yogurt place. Kind of weird, but whatever. So I did it. You know, I said I wouldn't put two in ever again. I didn't. I never put two in again. I started putting three, but I wasn't lying. I told him. I looked him in the eyes. I said, I will not put two in ever again. I will not mix two in. I didn't. I put three. I put three in there, and this is where things get a little bit tricky. So I put three in there, and what I didn't realize is that these literally, you know, these buckets, like I said, they look like an empty keg, just a big metal bucket that's, you know, hooked up and mixing everything in, and it's almost like a big blender. What I didn't realize is that, yeah, you know, now looking back on it, it makes sense, but the more and more you put in there, it literally fills up. Like, it is space you're taking up. So I put in three, and I put in, we probably had like 10 flavors. Like, I changed the flavors of like seven of them at once. Like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, oh, okay, it's cruising. And, you know, I was out there, and I was looking at people liking it. Like, I saw people making a face after tasting the pineapple. They're like, damn, this is good today. Because it did. It made a difference. Like, I wasn't doing it out of malice. I was like, I can make the good shit. All of a sudden, I peek my head back into the kitchen area, and things are just overflowing. Like, bubbles are popping everywhere. Frozen yogurt seems like it's dripping out of the ceiling for some reason. I had no idea what was happening. We tried to stop. We tried to shut things down. It was almost too late because at times when things get too bad, like, you just got to drain the machines, and there's, again, so much in there. And I don't know. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I put in extra water or something, because, to be honest, I don't understand how one more bag of powdered ingredient makes it overflow, but they all started overflowing, some sort of malfunction, and it was like 2 inches of frozen yogurt, all mixed flavors, just on the kitchen floor, and it was starting to leak out into like the dining area, into the behind the cash register area, and I was like, oh shit, we got a problem here. And we did have a problem. This frozen yogurt ice cream place had to like shut down for 2 or 3 days, and it was all because of this 15-year-old idiot that did that. So now things are starting to get rocky there. Like, things were starting to get rocky. I got yelled at for that, and I was almost like, shit, like, I can't really come back from this. What am I supposed to tell him? I'll never put three in again and then start putting four? Like, I didn't know what to do here. My rebellious self was almost like, okay, we gotta start shaping up. Let's be the best, most smiley employee you can be. So once this place opened up, and however many thousands of bucks that they lost in potential profits because I had shut them down, Curtis, the one nice thing he did was he let me come back to work. So I went back to work on whatever day this was. This was now during the summer. And they're like, all right, you know. And again, meanwhile, I'm still lugging these boxes up and down whenever we needed more ingredients and more, you know, more flavoring. So, yeah, I was happy to not constantly be down there moving stuff, doing inventory and whatnot. But now I was getting used. Like, yeah, no, fine. You want to be up here more? Okay, well, then I'm going to be up here more, but down there just as much. So it stunk. And looking back on it, I'm like, how was I taking this stuff? You know, me now, I would not take that. I would talk to someone. I'd be like, hey, like, I can be more useful, but whatever. That's besides the point. So again, I told myself, I was like, all right, you have to be a really good employee. You have to go in there with a smile on your face. You have to go and win Employee of the Month every month. Like, let's do it. So I went there. And I was working the floor because, again, you know, got the promotion, using air quotes. No sort of compensation or anything like that. Still wasn't, like, you know, I didn't really see the tip money. I was confused, but they told me I was being pulled in on tips, but whatever. And now, you know, like, we're halfway through the next month, and I'm working the floor, and what you could do there and what you can do is, and I never got told anything otherwise, but someone could say, can I try a sample of that? And I'd go get a little sample cup. They're like one of those ketchup or mustard things you can do in at a restaurant. It's very tiny. It's like the circumference of a quarter. And this older woman, you know, she's probably like 70, And she was like, oh, can I try this? Can I try vanilla? Can I try coconut? Can I try strawberry shortcake? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I kid you not, I was probably by this woman's side for maybe an hour, just letting her sample all the flavors. And we only had like 10 flavors, so she was just tasting them all. She's like, that raspberry's good. I want to try the vanilla again. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, be cool. Like, you know, your manager's probably watching. Do not get annoyed. Just smile on your face. Keep giving her samples. And I did, for an hour. And this ended with her being like, okay, well, have a good day. Like, thank you so much. And I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And I went out, and she just left. She walked outside, and I was like, what the hell? Like, she pretty much just had, like, 7 different cups of yogurt. Like, total. Like, she just got so much free frozen yogurt. But whatever. And then, you know, Army Sergeant Curtis is like, Evan, come here for a sec. And he said it kind of joyfully. I was walking in with my chest held high. I thought he was about to be like, way to go, man. I was watching you on the camera. That is how you employ. That is how you, you know, represent us. Like, you were so nice to that older woman, even though she didn't want to buy anything. I walk in there, and he looks at me with his hands in the air. And he goes, what was that? And I go, and I thought, again, he was making a joke. I was like, I know, new me, right? New me, new week, new me. And he's looking at me. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you just gave her. And he starts spitting out numbers and bullshit like that. And he's like, we have a rule. You can't give more than X amount of samples. And I was like, I didn't even know that. And, like, I was just being nice. Like, I was doing it with a smile on my face. Like, she'll probably come back now. Obviously, she did, you know, she just ransacked my village, though. She took me for what it was worth. Like, she knew what she was doing. She just identified the innocent young buck in the crowd and was like, I'm going to ask him for samples. But anyways, he starts screaming at me. I'm screaming at him now because, again, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to be doing these samples thing. So I didn't know anything like that. I had zero idea that this woman wasn't going to buy any yogurt. I should have understood it because she tried, like, vanilla 22 times, and I felt like saying, like, lady, vanilla tastes like one thing. Like, vanilla's going to taste like vanilla no matter where you go. And it's weird that you're going, you can't decide if you want pineapple or cookies and cream. Like, are you in a fruity mood or in a milky mood? Like, what do you want me to do? So he starts screaming at me. I scream at him. I think he said go home for the day or whatever, or as close to closing time, whatever. We both kind of ended the day super mad, but in no terms, no way was I fired at this moment. But I was thinking about it later on, then I was like, screw him. Like, what? I never got told that. And again, I'm thinking about it. I'm telling myself, like, you know, no one ever told me I can't give these samples. You know, screw the law. Like, I did what it was right. So the next day I go in there, and I had a mission. I did have a mission. I was going to be super, super nice, but all of a sudden I was going to disappear. And I'll get into that in a second. But so it was doing the same old thing. I went back to, filling up making the yogurts the correct way. And each time I did it, I smiled at the camera and gave it a thumbs up. Every single one of them I made. I don't know if because this guy was a creep. Even when he wasn't there, he was watching on his phone. And not that this has to do anything with the story, but it's a little weird that I worked with all girls and he would just be watching on his phone the entire time. I'm not to say, but, you know, looking back on it, but, so yeah, and he comes in. I needed him to be here first. That's why I was waiting. Like I said, I was going to disappear. So he comes in and I was like, hey, you know, Curtis, my man. He's like, okay, that's weird. But I was overly friendly. And then, you know, half hour goes by, he's sitting there on his computer, looking at video again, a weirdo. He's like, Ev, can you go down there and grab a few boxes of pomegranate or whatever the hell he needed me to get? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went down the stairs. Now, let me set the scene here. This room we had, you know, it was a basement, your typical basement, but it had just shelves and shelves and stacked things of both all the drinks we had in there, all the toppings. So there was boxes of Swedish Fish, boxes of M&M's, boxes of Arnold Palmer, water bottle cartons, as well as boxes with all the powdered flavors in there. So there was just boxes, 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 boxes for days. And so Curtis apparently was upstairs and a few minutes later, this is probably, so picture this, about like 45 minutes went by, maybe even an hour, I don't know, and starts asking, like, where's Evan, asking the girls, like, have you seen Evan, like, I told him to go down and get something an hour ago, and he's not back. They're like, no, and meanwhile, I was downstairs, yes, and so Curtis eventually decided to take the walk down the stairs, and I heard him coming too. I had it all planned out. He walked down the stairs, and let me just look, I'll just describe it from his point of view. He walked down the stairs, halfway through, he started hearing music, I was playing Pandora on my phone. He walked down the stairs, he got to the end of the stairs, turned around, looked at me. Again, let me say this. Well, I got fired from this job, and it was of no question as to why I got fired from this job. I did multiple things, multiple times for 2 to 3 months that very much, you know, justified a firing. But I'm still glad I did this because it's still a great story. He turned around and he saw me. I had built a massive throne with a footrest, with everything, out of all the boxes that we had, you know, the candy boxes, the water bottles, and that. And this thing was like 6 feet wide, had huge armrests, a big footrest, a headrest. I had made it like a pyramid, so it literally looked like a throne. I had my right armrest was Arnold Palmer. I had ripped open the box so I could just drink. I was drinking like 10 Arnold Palmers. I was just taking them out of my armrest. Swedish Fish was on the left. Like, I was just eating the candy. He came down and he just saw me with all the supplies, you know, 50% of our inventory. My hands have now been all over. Listening to the music on my phone, he walks down and I just go, "Hey, what's up, Curtis?" And he flipped out. Needless to say, that was the last day I was ever there. That's the last day I ever talked to Curtis. That was the last time I had ever stepped foot into that frozen yogurt place, because I couldn't even go in there as a customer after that. I was mortified. I was scared if he was going to be there. But yeah, that is the story of how, you know, my first legitimate W-4 job ended. It's a tough one because, like I said, meanwhile, this guy was a dick. I kind of brought it upon myself. But I will never, ever regret going out guns blazing, or should I say Swedish Fish blazing or something, because this throne, I can still picture it in my mind. The throne that I had built with all those supplies, and the look on that jerk's face was priceless, and I will never forget it, and I'm glad I now have it on audio, on the podcast, on the Ev Unleashed show. So hopefully you guys like that. Hopefully you like that more of a story vibe. Let me know. This is, you know, definitely taking my leash off and doing something different than sports. But yeah, that is the story of how I guess let my first job slip away through my fingers. Oh no. Well, you know, it made me a better person today. Thank you guys for listening.